This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. It's always good to be with you in the morning. On Wednesdays, I always take a moment to encourage you to go to Joseph. Pray to St. Joseph, invoke his powerful intercession, something that we always remember to do, especially and traditionally on Wednesdays. Now, yesterday, the Vatican sent the bishops around the world the text of the prayer that Pope Francis will lead along with the bishops and priests of the world on March 25th for the consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Mariologist and Relevant Radio, a longtime contributor, Dr. Mark Maravelli, joined the Drew Mary Show to reflect on the text of the consecration prayer.
I think it's so very, very important. We see that all of this reference of things like the two world wars that we have seemingly forgotten, the millions who were sacrificed, the role of Our Lady, even the Holy Father makes reference to Guadalupe. Am I not here? I who am your mother. Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, which brings us back to the New Eve in the early church. Even going, you know, farther in terms of understanding her as, there's literally 20 titles in what you read, Drew. There's 10 paragraphs, as you know well. But it leads up with the critical ending, and that is where he says, you know, therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart, we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine.
Absolutely a beautiful prayer of consecration by our Holy Father. This Friday, be sure to join Relevant Radio for our special live coverage from Rome. Begins at 11 a.m. Central Time, hosted by our very own Drew Mariani and Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky. And of course, you can continue to join Drew every day, 3 p.m. Central, the hour of power for the continuation of this 9-day novena for peace. And pray for peace in Ukraine every night as well during the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central tonight. I want to bring in our Glenn Leverins. Glenn, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is now in day 28. What's going on this morning?
John, Ukrainian forces are starting to push back and try and regain some of the territory that Russian forces have taken with them. Meanwhile, Russia continuing to launch cruise missiles more from their ships in the Black Sea at this point as they continue to pour destruction down upon Ukraine. Even notes that they have Russians have taken over a convoy of 11 buses headed to help with relief for Mariupol to bring some people to safety. That town continues to be besieged and without power, heat, and water for several weeks now as things carry on. Russia as well has warned NATO not to send any NATO peacekeeping troops into Ukraine for fear of engaging NATO, a threat from Russia on that point. President Biden meeting with some NATO leaders today in Europe as well. And that's the very latest. Those prayers, John, are needed. Don't even wait for the consecration. Keep praying now.
Absolutely. And we also need some prayers here in this country. Some devastating tornadoes that have hit the South, especially New Orleans and parts of Louisiana last night. What's the latest?
Well, one dead in New Orleans last night, a 26-year-old man there. Lots of destruction. Tornadoes ripping through some of the poorer parts of New Orleans that never really recovered all the way from Katrina a few years back as well, and much of the South and lower Midwest to be in the bullseye for some more severe thunderstorms today, John.
And so we'll continue to keep all those folks in our prayers. As always, thanks so much, Glenn. And if there's any breaking news, especially on the Ukraine front, please let us know.
Hey, sure thing.
We begin every hour in prayer, and we are continuing to pray for peace in Ukraine and Russia, as we've been doing every day now for well over a month. We continue to ask the Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, as our Ukrainian and Eastern Catholic brothers and sisters call her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Romans 5, 3 through 5. The Apostle St. Paul writes, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. During this period of Lent, this time of preparation and imitation of the 40 days of our Lord Jesus Christ in the desert, we have to keep the proper perspective of what suffering means to us. As Paul reminds us, we rejoice in our suffering. The Apostle St. James tells us, blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. We need to thank the Lord for the trials, whatever they may be, that he sends us from his hand according to his holy will. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. As a reminder, if you haven't signed up for whatever reason for Father Rocky's new super duper Lenten lessons on the Mass, it's still not too late. You can still do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. In today's lesson, Father Rocky explains the profession of faith that we recite on Sundays and on holy days in Mass. So get ready to learn much more about the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Sign up this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Our number, if you want to be part of our program, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, it's been 3 weeks since we began Lent with Ash Wednesday. How's Lent going so far for you? Perhaps not as planned, not so great, or are you feeling like it's a long way to go to Holy Week? Has your Lent felt like a complete disaster so far? I hope not. Please do not lose hope. It's not where you start, it's where you finish that counts. Joining us now is our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyon, with much more on how to get through a so-called mid-Lent slump. Father Tyon is the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Tyon. Great to be with you once again. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Great to be with you and our listeners today, and blessed to be looking forward still to Holy Week, but we're still at it here, still slugging it out in the Lenten season.
Absolutely. Father, can you believe 3 weeks have flown by? It's been 3 weeks since Ash Wednesday. But, you know, 3 weeks have flown by, but it's still not too late. This is still a perfect time to do a restart of Lent.
Oh, it certainly is, and I think people shouldn't be discouraged. I think what happens is I think people usually start things strong and then get busy, things happen. I think just talking about the Ukraine in your news reporting there with Glenn before, but I think actually incorporating our praying, fasting, and almsgiving, you know, for an end to war, for peace, for the Ukrainians is also a way to fuel our Lenten slump, maybe sort of to, you know, the Holy Father is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to Our Lady this week, but we can also consecrate our Lenten practices into fueling the desire for peace in our world. And it can also, I think that's a great motivator, and it also helps fuel us and help us be maybe creative in a restart on Lent. So that's another, I think a halfway motivator that can help us, as well as trying some new things and just really maybe taking a Lenten break with something new in our practices. It's not too late to do that when it's still a bit away from Holy Week, so we've still got some time to kind of make it a consecrated retreat week of some sort and kind of shake things up a little bit.
Absolutely. In fact, I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question or comment or you want to share how your Lent has been going so far, if you feel good about it, if you feel like you need a restart, give us a call, 888-914-9149, if you want to be part of the conversation with Father Tyone. Father, I can't help but think, what is this consecration, this upcoming consecration, this coming Friday, by our Holy Father, along with the bishops and priests of the world for peace in Ukraine and Russia? What does it mean for you as a priest to unite yourself to the successor of Peter and all the bishops in this historic consecration?
Well, I think it's the whole world's motivated, the whole Catholic world. I think we're all united in so many ways at this time, unlike before. I mean, probably not since the last world wars have people been so garnered together and supernaturally together, pleading with Jesus, pleading with our Heavenly Father, invoking Mary to end the bloodshed, to protect the innocent, and to bring peace in our world. The world needs peace, and that starts with the cessation of any violence. And we need to live that in our own lives, too, in the way we speak to other people, our acts of charity, again, those small Lenten things. But it is, I think we're seeing, in the modern world with social media and technology that we have today, we share more of each other's lives visually. We feel closer to people, and thanks be to God, we can see the bad things that are happening, which fuel our prayer and also our desires to join the Holy Father, but also our own desires to work towards peace and to really ask Mary's intercession for all of humanity today and to do that all together. So I feel, in some sense, I think the whole world is coming together. All of humanity is coming together, and Jesus and our Blessed Mother, and led by the Church and the Holy Father, are also guiding the way for that. And, of course, this Friday is the Annunciation. It's a big solemnity in the Church. It's the day we celebrate that God really became man right inside the womb of Mary, that moment of that conception when Mary said yes in freedom. And so it's a wonderful maybe a confluence of all these graces, that the day on the calendar it is, what's going on in our world, and the call to prayer throughout the world. So it's a grace-filled time, I think.
Father Tyone, can you talk about gratitude, that attitude of gratitude that can help us turn our hearts back to God when we're not sure exactly where to begin if we're trying to refocus here midway through Lent?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, a great suggestion, a calling, right? Sort of gratitude prayers. I think sometimes in the pandemic, people were anxious or, off track for some reason. When we pray prayers of gratitude, not petition or desperation, it really changes our focus. So, again, if you haven't been practicing prayers of gratitude for Lent, there's a place to kind of shake it up a bit and do a litany of thanksgiving, things about Jesus, about his passion, all the saints maybe you know about, and then people in your life, maybe, how about going into prayer and thinking of the people in your life that God has placed there that have brought you to know Christ and strengthen you in faith in childhood or even up to today, kind of doing a litany of gratitude. That's a new way to pray, perhaps, and sort of, prayers of gratitude always bring joy and peace, and not just those petition prayers. So a great thought and great suggestion.
Maybe spending some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just taking in a self-inventory of all the many, many blessings. It's so easy to forget all the blessings that the Lord gives us because sometimes we really do take them for granted.
No, I think you're right. We tend to sort of get kind of busy, and also people get kind of stressed out running all around, but taking a little quiet time, maybe a retreat hour or even going for a nice quiet walk somewhere, a place you don't usually walk. I love walking in cemeteries. I really want to go do a contemplative rosary or a contemplative time. I find the cemeteries are a great place to pray, and it's very, they're always serene and humble, and seeing people visit their loved ones with such dignity and reverence. I find that's a place. So churches are great. And I also find cemeteries are a nice place to pray. Pray for the dead, but also it's a good mortality check and immortality check in baptism. But I also find that helpful. So going to a different place to pray, even a different chapel or a shrine or some kind of Lenten offering by a neighboring parish or something, like something just a little different that can be that simple to shake things up a bit.
And obviously, there's so many different ways, and everybody's different of how you can try to rededicate yourself here down the stretch during Lent. Can you share with us just a few practical ideas that you think might work, might get somebody really thinking to try to finish strong here the last 3 weeks?
Well, I think sometimes there's many good films and products out there now that are made that really help us focus on Christ. I mean, I always go back to The Passion of the Christ. I mean, there's so many good films, The Chosen. If you haven't seen that, I think it's a nice time to take in a Christian movie. Something like that is always good. I think maybe discovering a new podcaster that's faithful and doing that. But I think those are some ideas. I think maybe journaling. So if you haven't journaled, or maybe if you don't have a Bible that you actually write in, sometimes Catholics are a little... We get served up the Bible at Mass every weekend, sort of in our missalettes, and it's all Magnificat, it's all chopped up for us, so we get the Word of God. But sometimes having our own Bible and really taking a highlighter and having a freedom to underline or kind of read parts of the Gospel, maybe the Passion of Christ would be good to read right now in the Gospels, maybe before Palm Sunday. I think reading the Palm Sunday readings could be a great restart or redirection for Lent. So by the time we get to Palm Sunday, we've read that long gospel and we've really kind of meditated a bit and see what jumps out at us this year and that. So that's another thing to do, I think, is to read the scriptures ahead. This week's the Prodigal Son at Mass. That's always a great one of Jesus' best parables that every year, right, which switches it up. Every year our life is different, so we might be attracted to one of the brothers in the parable, maybe the father. But I think scripture, I think films, podcasting, something different that you haven't done before, it's always a way to sort of, again, kind of jumpstart something. And isn't it true? Sometimes I've got a friend. Sometimes we go to a town. If I really want a day out, we go to a town somewhere. Even in my own state, I go to a town I've never been to. You look at everything. You see the trees and every little detail because it's not familiar. And I think Lent, around midway, this kind of time in Lent, it's almost good to go to an unfamiliar place in our own selves with Christ, so that we can just kind of reawaken, kind of a second start to Lent. And that's easy to do if we just put our minds to it and let the Spirit creatively guide that a little bit.
Father Tyone, I think your suggestion of watching a movie, like, for example, the Passion of the Christ, is just a tremendous idea. I know in our family, we watch it every year. It's a tradition. We watch it during Holy Week. Oftentimes, right before Good Friday. Just, it really helps us to remind us of what our Lord went through. It makes the Stations of the Cross that we try to do on Fridays really come to life, as well as the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary. It all comes to life when you see it on the big screen in the Passion of the Christ.
I couldn't agree more. I'm a Palm Sunday Passion of the Christ kind of guy. I try to watch it there as the week begins. I think that's also, it's a very, obviously a disturbing film, but it is as it was, as John Paul said, and it's good to watch that. But I think there's some great films out there, and I think we need to avail ourselves to those, and maybe one a week, or again, reading a scripture account and watching a film, doing things that seize our imagination and lead us to prayer. That's what it's all about. So I think we got a little creative calling this morning to each one of us, everybody, to kind of shake up Lent a little bit, and uniting ourselves to Ukraine, motivating, asking for world peace to fuel maybe these new things we want to try, and really just get ready to walk with the Lord in Holy Week through His own life, death, and resurrection. That's what our life's all about. And these kind of things help us remember, discover, and deepen that in ourselves and the people we know and love and serve. So it's a great conversation this morning. I appreciate it.
Father Tyone, as the old adage goes, there is no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. So to meditate on those last seven words of Christ, to think about His passion, is a great way to prepare us for the resurrection of our Lord.
Amen. And we definitely have to prepare and great suggestion again, right there. There you go. Great Lenten suggestion, meditating on the seven last words of Christ. It's great, great things to read about that and to take to prayer. So that's another Good Friday-esque suggestion. And I think that's a good one, too, is to meditate on that and go to the scriptures. And what did Jesus say as he was dying? What who is he talking to? What is he saying? What is he choosing to say? And again, when someone's in hospice that we love, we never forget the last things they say. And what did Jesus choose to say and do as he was dying? And that can really, really touch each of us, I think, and really reveal his love and the plan of salvation, but also our lives, our suffering, our Good Fridays. We all have Good Fridays. You know, what does the Good Friday have to do when we're on Good Friday, small good or big good or whatever it is? This is what it's all about. The Lord wants to share himself with us, and we unite our Good Fridays to his. But we have to study and pray with his very well, so when ours come, we experience the closeness to him and know he understands, because he's been through it, and certainly in a way that's not like anybody else will ever, and that changes our suffering. So that's what this is all about, too.
Father Tyone, our blessed Lord from the cross, one of those seven last words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's why he left us the beautiful sacrament of confession. If we do nothing else these next few weeks, I think getting to confession would be definitely a win.
For sure. You know, when you think of, you know, St. Stephen, the first martyr, you know, his imitating Jesus, he knew those words. And he did that when he was being stoned, which converted Paul. You just think about how that all worked together. But those seven words can become ours in our lives, and kind of really, I think that's a special insight. Really, I think how do we live that out? And that's a great question too, to meditate on this part of Lent. How do we have that spirit of Christ in us? Are we willing to be vulnerable to that in the Lord? And that could change a lot of things. Even how we love others is really the goal, too. We want to love Christ, but Christ wants to change the capacity of our love. And that's what Lent's all about. It's being able to let the Lord do that.
Well, Father Tyone, I so much appreciate your spiritual direction, your perspective. It's very inspiring and gives us some good motivation that, hey, it's not too late. We still can finish strong here in Lent. Thanks again for being with us.
All right. God bless you, and God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Many blessings to you. Our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a longtime Relevant Radio regular contributor. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Professor Harry Kramer will give us his take on the importance of a balanced perspective rather than jumping to conclusions. We've got a lot to talk about coming up, so stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I want to talk about keeping a balanced perspective. Oftentimes, our emotions can totally run wild. This can be a struggle. In those times, we might find it challenging to keep a balanced perspective about life. Within no time, we jump to conclusions. A tiny drop of water suddenly looks like a giant lake. Have you ever gone through something like this where you just blow a situation totally out of proportion? Joining us now is longtime Morning Air regular contributor, Professor Harry Kramer, with more on the importance of having a balanced perspective. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and is an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the United States. Good morning, Professor Harry. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you this morning.
Hi, John. Always great to be with you. Always.
Absolutely. This is a very interesting issue, the whole topic of jumping to conclusions with problems and situations that we don't know all about the situation, and then we jump to a conclusion. Why is it important to have a balanced perspective rather than just jumping to a crazy conclusion?
Well, you know, I think, John, that no matter what the topic, there's a lot of different perspectives. And if you only understand one of them, as my grandfather used to say, Harry, life is much, much simpler if you only understand your side of the story. But if you, John, if you actually take the time and realize there's multiple sides to the story. And I really do believe that by taking the time to listen and understand why does somebody else feel the other way, then you can actually always decide whether you agree or disagree, but at least you understand why somebody believes what they believe. And so I always talk about this as that second principle of leadership, of literally taking the time to understand all perspectives. Or another way of thinking about it, I think it's from St. Francis, I seek to understand before I'm understood. I say that probably 10 times a day, John. I seek to understand before I'm understood.
That is a beautiful meditation from St. Francis, and I think that definitely helps us to have a better perspective. Professor Harry, can you give us examples of jumping to conclusion? It's maybe from your own experience of what you've seen.
Yeah. In fact, John, it can be almost any topic. And a lot of them get very emotional right away. You know, somebody will say, well, use anyone, because I know you and I can talk about anything. You take the idea, even of somebody talking about gun control. You know, you've got some people that would say, well, there should be no guns. There should be absolutely no guns at all. And then somebody else says, oh, well, everybody ought to be able to have a gun. You ought to have as many guns as you want. You ought to have as many different kinds as you can, and automatics or whatever. And when you really take the time to understand, okay, why does this person believe this? Oh, okay, they think about the Second Amendment. Okay, why does somebody feel the other extreme? Well, they're very concerned that a young person or a young child could get hold of a gun. All right, now, you understand the different perspectives and then decide, okay, given all of this, given the entire continuum, what really does make sense? And what's very interesting, John, is that very often, if you and I are having an argument or a discussion, very often you'll hear somebody say, well, John, I don't understand where you're coming from. And I actually realize that when somebody literally says, I don't understand, often, John, they don't want to understand. They're letting you know they disagree. And so if you and I have any discussion, I try to never say, hey, John, I don't understand where you're coming from, because that's actually ignorant. If I take the time, I can understand why you believe what you believe. Then I can decide, do I agree or disagree? And I think, John, one of the reasons this is becoming, and I've been studying this a lot, one of the reasons this is becoming a larger and larger problem is that there seems to be fewer and fewer people who literally take the time to understand different perspectives. And as you and I know, John, in the world we're living in now with social media, you know, people have their own echo chambers, and, you know, some people are on the far right, some people are on the far left. And I would argue you can be wherever you want to be, but if you're at one end or the other, and all of the information you receive, all the reading that you get, everything you hear is just consistent with your perspective, very, very hard to understand why somebody else believes something different. And it's very, very hard to find a middle ground if you only understand your side.
Absolutely. And it seems like, you know, in this day and age, so many of us are living in a bubble. You only hear one side or one perspective. And this is extremely evident, especially when we talk about politics. And, you know, I've said it so many times, you know, that, you know, here at Relevant Radio, you know, we're not Republican, we're not Democrats, you know, we're Catholic. So we try to bring a Catholic and a moral perspective. So even having that point of view is an example of having a balance. Perspective, because you can hear both sides, but you also want to stay with the Catholic point of view on some very important issues that affect our everyday lives.
Absolutely, John. Absolutely. And again, there's another balance. Okay, I want to understand different people's perspectives, but I clearly want to understand, you know, what God is calling us to. What's Jesus asking us to do? What's consistent with our Catholic faith? And I do really believe that if somebody has a different view, I'll give you a good example, John, of why I think this makes so much sense, particularly with our Catholic faith. Rather than I just talk, I want to listen to what somebody says. I want to show them I totally understand their perspective. And to a certain degree, if you believe something, John, and I believe something different, I want to understand what you believe, really, because I want to demonstrate that I value you, I care about you, and I'm listening. And it's very interesting. By taking the time to listen, you know, you always hear that comment, you know, there's a reason you got two ears and one mouth. But by taking the time to listen, now you may say, well, Harry, why do you believe that? Why do Catholics believe that? Because you've demonstrated you're respecting the person, and now you've got the opportunity to have an enormous impact on somebody else. But that only starts if you don't go into the discussion with the idea of, okay, I know everything, and I'm not going to even give you the opportunity to talk.
Professor, can you talk about the importance of looking at any issue from multiple perspectives, from all possible angles?
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot lately about what's been happening in the Ukraine. And obviously, we're all praying for every single person in the Ukraine. But I also think, and this, again, this is one of these, I try not to take sides, I'm trying to pray for everybody in Russia, okay? I mean, obviously, something very, very harmful happened and is going on at the very, very high levels of the Russian government. But I'm going to guess that a lot of people in Russia, a lot of the average people like you and I, John, they're not supporting this. They're not in favor of this, but they're involved in a situation where I think we probably need to pray for them as well. And try to find out, I think, as the Pope is doing, hey, how do you find a solution to this? But no matter what aspect you look at this, I think it's important to understand all sides. I mean, I get very emotional, John, when I see what's happening and I hear what's happening, I read what's happening, and you say, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe we should immediately create this no-fly zone that you hear. But rather than saying, I don't understand why we're not doing that, I want to understand, is there a concern that if you do that, that could then lead to a bigger crisis and create World War III? Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it or wouldn't do it, but at least take the time to realize there's multiple sides to this. I know some fellow Americans that are saying, oh my goodness, this is reminiscent of World War II. You know, we should send troops there. But if somebody says, well, I don't understand why we would not do that, well, again, John, I don't know the answer, but like you, I want to understand, why would that be a good idea? Why would that be a bad idea? How do you think about that in a balanced way before you make a decision? And what I find so fascinating, John, is no matter what the issue, whether we agree or disagree, taking the time to understand, seek to understand.
A great reminder, and it's so easy to let one's emotions get involved. In that example alone, our emotions are so touched when we see the images of the suffering children and the mothers and the families in Ukraine. And so our emotional response might be, hey, we need to send troops and do something. But if we use reason and logic and look at it from many different perspectives, we can see that that may not be the most prudent thing to do, especially right now, because it could lead to World War III.
Yeah. No, it's John, I love the way you think about it. I mean, and again, there really is the need. That's why I repeat it a lot. Truly understand, right? Because on one hand, while I could just about convince myself, oh my goodness, you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to make it larger. Well, then, John, if you study history and then you really understand and look what happened at the beginning of the Second World War, you know, what Hitler was doing, because of some of that appeasement and because people didn't act sooner, look what happened there. Again, doesn't mean we ought to do it, but we're looking at all sides and realizing, boy, we really need to be very, very careful in thinking this through. And I do really believe you can learn a tremendous amount from history as well, because often, as you know, we repeat ourselves and not even take the time to realize it.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating discussion that we're having about looking at different perspectives and having a balanced perspective. If you want to be part of the conversation, you want to share your own two cents on why it's important to have a balanced perspective, or perhaps you have a question or comment for Professor Harry Kramer, you can give us a call. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break and we continue our discussion with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking about the importance of having a balanced perspective rather than jumping to conclusions with Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. Professor Harry, welcome back.
Great to be with you, John.
You know, it occurred to me, how do we know for sure if our response to a situation is biased?
I think, boy, John, you always ask great questions. I think the best way for me to do that is to take the time to realize, are there perspectives, are there people who believe something else, and taking the time to understand why they believe it. And if I can do that with 7 or 8 different people and I get the full landscape, then I can say, okay, is what I believe really the most important? Is what I really believe the truth? Is what I believe is it consistent with God's calling me to do? And here's an interesting thing, John, I've been thinking a lot about. Sometimes when I discuss this with students or people, they'll say, oh, wait a minute, you know, I don't want to have a balanced perspective because I know the answer. And because I know the answer, I'm a little concerned that I've really got to make sure that other people understand the answer. And it's interesting to me, John, is that I really believe by taking the time and demonstrating I understand why somebody else believes it, then I think I have the ability to understand where the flaw in their logic may be, why they may not be thinking about it correctly, and how literally I can convince them of what the right thing is. So again, John, since you and I talk about anything, let's just talk about something you and I believe in so strongly, and that is that abortion is wrong and abortion is murder. Now, if I'm having a discussion with somebody who believes that abortion is fine, and you know, I'm sure have these discussions, John, where somebody will say, well, you know, it's a woman's body and it's a woman's right and so on. I will often say, oh, I'm a tremendous believer in women's rights. I'm a tremendous believer. I'm not against women's rights whatsoever. And then they'll say, okay, well then Harry, why do you believe what you believe? And rather than saying, okay, well, at conception, that's a person, I'll say, well, okay, you don't believe that's a person, but you know what? From the moment of conception, the only difference between that and 9 months later is you and I. So the only thing we're talking about is time. And if that's the only difference, is that something that's the right thing to do, to take away what will be a life, even if you don't think it's a life? And I tell you, I've been able to convince people of that, John, because I've understood their perspective, and then they start to realize and say, well, wait a minute, how could it be wrong at 6 months, but it's okay at 2 months, or okay at two? Wow, Harry, I'd never thought about it that way. But see, no one's ever going to listen to you, John, if you don't even attempt to understand why they believe what they believe. So it's very interesting. Rather than getting what I believe diluted at all, it helps me give the ammunition, gives me the ability to be able to convince people of things that I believe because I understand what they believe and what maybe the flaw is in what they believe.
Your prayer to St. Francis is a great reminder to listen carefully. And I always am encouraged also by our first Pope, St. Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, but do it with gentleness and reverence. That implies respect, sitting back and asking some good questions and finding out where the other person is coming from before you come back and share the truth of whatever the issue is.
Absolutely. I love that 3:15. And it once again demonstrates we're not backing off. We're not like, oh, wait a minute, you know, hey, why would we even listen to some? Well, wait a minute. What's the goal here? Okay. If the goal really is to convince people of what's right, you got a much, much better chance of doing that by respecting and listening. And then they'll start to listen to you. I find it remarkable your ability to convince people of things because you're respecting them, you're listening to them, you're taking notes and saying, okay, now there's one thing you mentioned here. Let me give you another perspective. What do you think about this? How would you react to that? And let them come to that conclusion rather than trying to force them.
To me, that sounds like a good leadership, which I wanted to get your take on how in this day and age, right now, at this time in history, more than ever before, we need values-based leadership to really understand from a historical perspective what's going on.
Oh, absolutely, John. What I think about what leaders do, and as you and I always talk about, this leader thing isn't, oh, I've got a lot of people reporting to me, right? Because as we've talked in the past, leadership, in my mind, has nothing to do with titles and organizational charts. Leadership has everything to do with the ability to influence people, even if you have nobody reporting to you. And the only way you can influence people is you have to be able to relate to people. And so the little leadership model, John, it's just three words, one underneath another. Leadership, influence, relate. So if there's somebody out there who I disagree with, or I need to have them cooperate with me to get something done. If I can relate to them, if I can understand what motivates them, if I can understand and get them to the point to realize, hey, I have no personal agenda here other than to try to do the right thing, I can start to have an influence on that person and I can lead them. And I think in my mind, the best leaders are people that, as you know, John, they surround themselves with people who are willing to challenge them. And if you work for me, John, and I say, hey, I want to go north, and you say, well, geez, Harry, I know you're the boss, but, you know, would south make more sense? I will take the time to listen to you. I'll take the time to seek to understand, because as you well know, John, a really good leader has absolutely no need to be right. They're trying to do the right thing. This is not something where I need the final word. I want to know, hey, John, what do you think? Mary, what do you think? Beth, wait a minute. Say that again, Mary. Say it again. Okay, I think that makes sense. Forget what I said. Let's do that. And I think the ability of a leader to do that is what demonstrates what a value-based leader is all about, John.
Professor Harry, I'd love to get your take on Ukrainian President Zelensky, who, when he addressed our U.S. Congress, he mentioned Pearl Harbor. He mentioned 9/11. He really was trying to influence and to relate to our American members of Congress.
That is, John, that is one of the best examples, and I'm using that one in class now. This is, in my mind, one of the great examples of a true leader, okay? Here's a person who literally, rather than, we're being attacked, let me get on an airplane and let me get out of here, okay? He knows he's leading 45 million people, all right? And he's there, he's not going anywhere, and he realizes that this isn't going to happen without the support of NATO, without the support of all of the countries in Europe, as well as the United States. And again, if you're into history, John, it is, to me, it's unbelievably similar to the situation with Winston Churchill in 1940 with the bombs flowing on London. And that idea of, hey, look, we're here, we're going to do the right thing, I really need your support. And I think in a balanced way, he's going to keep pushing for support. But at the same time, I think he realizes why sending in troops right now may not be the right answer, right? And so his ability to motivate people, encourage people, and let people know where we stand, And another good example of what he's doing, I think, is that he's in the middle of a crisis. And rather than either saying, hey, the world's come to an end, or, oh, don't worry about it, we're fine, I think he's balancing that very well. Hey, we're in a crisis. This is reminiscent of what happened in the 1930s. I really need your support. I need your help. And at the same time, we got to figure out how to do it in a very balanced way. And I respect the fact that some of the countries are going to have to be careful as to how they find that balance.
And it was interesting that when he addressed the British Parliament, he also invoked Churchillian-like language. You know, we'll fight them on the bridges. We'll fight them on the rivers. We'll fight them everywhere. Very reminiscent of the great World War II leader Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of Britain.
It was absolutely unbelievable, John. It really was, and I'm a really big history buff, and I think he's done an amazing job of literally. You look at what the resistance has been, and you look at the faith and the hope, and how we need to pray for every single one of the 45 million people there that need our support. And I think he's leading. Talk about being blessed of having the right leader at the right time. I think he's there, and I think he's going to continue to make an enormous difference, John.
Well, thanks so much, Professor Harry, for your balanced perspective and instilling on us the importance of having that balance. Thanks again for being with us.
Always a pleasure, John. Take care. God bless. And I appreciate everything that you do.
Many blessings to you. Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Follow the Tug. It's from Kay. Went to lunch today, was ready to go when a gentleman came in and he needed a table with a plug-in for his phone. Mine had one. I had no idea if others did, but almost all the tables were empty. I told him he was welcome and the table I was leaving anyway. So we exchanged pleasantries and I took off. As I went to my car, I felt a tug in my heart, and the next thing I know, I'm in the drive-thru. I ordered a meal and pulled up, literally less than $8. At the window, I told the worker I had a crazy request. Could he deliver the meal to the man at that first table? Well, the worker got all surprised, looking and said, all this for him? I said, yes. Well, then the worker gave me a fist bump and said, I love seeing stuff like this. And he said, I know who this is for, all surprised. I told him I didn't know the guy needed it or not, but I felt compelled. He said, oh, he does. He's homeless, and he came in yesterday and wanted food. I couldn't give him any. What's your name? I'm taking this to him right now. Well, then I left. No clue how the gentleman reacted or what was said, but it made the day of one worker to know that this gentleman was getting a meal. I called my daughter, as it made me feel good, and I told her, if you ever feel a tug at your heart, follow that tug. It's God getting your attention and working through you. So my new motto is, follow the tug. Romans 8:14 reminds us, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
I love it. Follow the tug. Thanks so much, Glenn. Let's continue to pray to the Mother of God for peace and an end to the war in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight. And continue to pray the Novena for Peace during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. All of this getting us ready for the big consecration of Russia and Ukraine this coming Friday on the Solemnity of the Annunciation, 11 a.m. Central for our live coverage. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.